Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And today, in the first hour, we're going to cover news and current events. And I chuckle because I've been struggling with technical difficulties for the last 25 minutes when I'm usually preparing, or 30 minutes actually, when I'm usually preparing, getting all my ducks in a row for the first hour. So I guess we got to stumble through this one as well. And anyway, not going to tell you all the difficulties, what exactly they are. And so news and current events in the first hour. And in the second hour, we're going to look at, again, at pre-mill versus A-mill. Found some good points, good talking points for that, so wanted to share those with you. So be sure to come back for that if you're still on the fence or looking for some ammunition to uphold the biblical view, the only one that is explicitly stated in the scripture itself regarding the millennial reign of Christ, where he rules and reigns for 1,000 years, yes, with his saints. And then that is followed by the great white throne judgment and the eternal state. Looking forward to that. And I believe it's going to start real soon, you know, like real soon, like within the next 30 years or so. So we'll all be waiting for that one. And if we don't make it till then we will go. We will be there one way or the other, because as we know, we've read a thousand times that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. And I call that that event what the Bible calls it, the resurrection and Christ's second return. That's the same event. I don't go for any of these raptures, any of them. You know, the new modern eschatology offers you three multiple choice raptures, and you guess you get to choose the one you like the best. You know, never mind. It just seems rather hilarious to me that you have a multiple choice in eschatology on which rapture, supplanting the resurrection event, you want to show up for. So, but everyone who believes in one of them upholds it with, you know, all the conjecture that they can find to uphold it. Okay, let me see. Let me check the chat room. I didn't get out and broadcast, and because I usually announce in a whole bunch of groups on Facebook and other media. But instead of doing that, I was playing producer and tech guy. Yeah, there's a kind of a technical thing going on here. Anyway, let's see. What do we got? Oh, yes, news events. You know, I haven't heard yet, and someone give me a shout in the chat room if you're hearing everything very good, or am I still talking to nobody? Oh, at least my sound is odd this week. Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes sometimes with your own producer. Well, most of the time everything works right, but the last three or four broadcasts, I've been wrestling with the same program. I mean, with Restream. And I finally broke down and subscribed to Restream for all of the extra benefits, but it wrecks some other things, as you can see. It does not work the way it used to. I hate it when they fix things so they don't work anymore. Stop fixing things that already work. That's what I say. Okay. News and events here. Okay. Well, as you know, they're still pushing on, but I think there's a lot of pushback, in the great United States of America against, the pretender in chief, over there that sits in the White House who, I mean, amazingly, this guy is amazing. I'm telling you, he is miraculous. He has some otherworldly power on his hat because he got more votes than anyone in history ever from his basement. Yeah. I'm still amazed by that. Yeah. And, anyway, so I call him the pretender in chief because I don't believe it for a minute. Yeah. I don't know who does believe it for a minute. And, he's been blundering everything and learning a little bit more about his blunders, how that he decided this is the guy in charge. He decided that he wanted to, instead of, doing the rollout, he wanted to extend it instead of rolling it out. Getting out of Afghanistan on time, on the time frame that I believe that was set up by Donald Trump, which would have been a lot earlier than today because they were watching and they knew that the Taliban was gaining control of the country. So they had a rollout much sooner and they were going to get out all the equipment and stuff. But Joe Biden wanted to hold off the rollout until 9/11. So he could make a big deal about it. Well, I guess the Taliban caught up with him, plus all of the other blunders he made. So, I love it. You know, you read, Psalm 2, where the kings of the earth, the governors of the earth, they counsel together and but it says that he will hold them in derision. So that's what we got going on now. Unfortunately, I mean, the really sad part is that all of the Americans and the people that were aligned with America got left behind. So that's very unfortunate. So there's a lot of people suffering. We need to pray to our Heavenly Father to protect those that are His. Or to, you know, he'll bring them home because a lot of people are going to suffer for their faith. Americans will join the martyrs of the rest of the world that are being ignored by the mainstream media and most of the church worldwide because, well, so American missionaries over there, and their converts may be joining the martyr train, but yeah, whatever end, because, you know, the way things are going, it could even come here to America. It is likely that martyrdom will be coming to a lot more Christians and be a lot more common occurrence as we proceed into the the dystopian pre-millennial. Yeah, the premillennial dystopia and the Mark of the Beast inquisitions that are coming. I mean, they're trying really hard and people are pushing back, but actually they are gaining ground. Yeah, they're gaining ground. You know, they push forward 10 steps. You know, the people push back 2 or 3. But don't worry, they're not going to stop pushing forward to their on their 2030 agenda. And a total Mark of the Beast financial takeover of the entire world. And so they can begin their Mark of the Beast inquisitions coming to a neighborhood near us real soon. There's no stopping it. The Bible prophecy has been true and it will remain true until it is all fulfilled. That much you can count on, including the millennial reign of Christ. Okay. Thank you, Gigi and WW in the chat room for your sound and video checks there. Everything is working good. Ezekiel's temple. Oh, he must. What is the meaning of Ezekiel's temple? Where is it in the timeline? Jay asks in the chat room. And I guess that'll be a topic for hour two because we're talking about the millennium there. That's my belief. Okay. And Ezekiel's temple. So, and that's something I think I've done a study on Ezekiel. If you go to my website, the Bible studies pages, I believe you'll find my Ezekiel studies there where I discuss that, probably more in depth, but I can't remember because that did those so many years ago. I've been getting the idea that I should do a lot of my studies over again. All of the ones, say, maybe I did before 2010, because I re-listened to some of them around that era and later, or, you know, closer to our own time. And they all seem to sound pretty good to me as far as eschatologically speaking. But, you know, my knowledge of eschatology has grown leaps and bounds since 2005, when I kind of muddled through prophecy and eschatology up until that point when I decided to jump in with both feet and discover everything that could be discovered. Yeah, and I'm still discovering, so even now. And sometimes I'm just discovering new arguments on things that I already knew, better ways of presenting the debate, so to speak, because there is a debate. And I think if we can approach, because a lot of dispensationalists have a problem with Reformed eschatology and historicism, and I have a problem with amillennial historicism. I mean, I don't even see how it works. So, and one of the most famous historicists was premillennial. That was E.B. Eliot. And anyone who really looked deeply into prophecy as a historicist, because you can only be a historicist on the surface, you agree that certain things obviously happen in history and don't fit into the dispensational futurist scheme, which is all speculation anyway. They fit much nicer into history and prophecy fulfilled. So you become a historicist, but you say, oh, you know, not for amillennialism. We can't be historicist on that. We gotta jump over here into speculation, because that's what it's all about. Anyway, now here's another thing. We're going to talk about the V and the anti-V jab that they call a V. Yeah. You know, it's a shame because I listen to some guys. These guys like get millions of views on YouTube, and they're allowed to say things that I'm not allowed to say. It's coming out because they're big money makers. And YouTube does not want to do with its big money makers. And, you know, there's a couple of, what do you call someone like the Babylon Bee? That type of people out there that are very entertaining, very funny, but at the same time, they're very conservative and mocking of the V and the whole thing going on. But they are so popular that I think that, you know, Google is unwilling to drop them from YouTube simply because of the money they're making on advertising. And then for, you know, poor sots like me who could hardly reach anybody, you know, if they ding me all the time with strikes so that it's hard to even remain on YouTube. Now, our First Amendment Radio YouTube channel, we can't even stream on it anymore. Because I was posting videos and they kept giving me strikes for videos I post. But then I guess someone started reporting my stream, the live stream there. So I had to stop doing that. And I'm just not putting anything on First Amendment Radio YouTube channel because I have thousands of hours of series over there. You know, Tom Fress's series and other series and Bible studies. And, you know, people can still listen to all those. Although they did delete this week, they deleted a program of Greg's from 2 years ago, and they sent me a nice little email about it and said, we're not going to give you a strike this time. Cause it was such an old one. It was a year or so old, but he was talking about, guess what? Before it was politically incorrect to talk about it, he was talking about the CV, you know, so. That's the way that goes. So I'm just not posting anything anymore over there. We'll just let everything over there, all those thousands of hours that are being listened to every week, we'll let that continue in their pond over there. I still have my Prophecy Reality channel on YouTube, but I'm only posting things that that I know won't, or are allowing things to stay on there that I know won't get a strike. So if I do a video, a live video like I'm doing today, which I'm streaming on, let's see, how many channels am I streaming on here? This morning I'm streaming on YouTube, Facebook, let's see, Trovo, DLive, and Odyssey. So, oh, let me turn that off. That shouldn't be running. Which I should check all these to make sure that I'm not watching myself in a tab that's closed. Send that. Notification sent. Okay, so anyway, I'm good. So anyway, I'm doing on 5 channels now. I could add more if I had more that I could add. And I guess I'll work on that. Anyway, oh yeah, everybody's looking at my LouRockwell.com page here. And I suggest, you know, I am anti-state as far as government. I believe in the rule of Jesus Christ, and he does rule, even though the world doesn't recognize him. So I'm kind of anti-state because of the state always is. That's, you know, that's another thing that I've thought about occasionally, how the, in Bible prophecy, government governing powers over the earth and over a locality are called beasts. And from the Hebrew and from the Greek for wild beasts and, or just an animal of some type. But anyway, or usually an unruly character. Because if you call someone a beast, you're just, you're not saying that they are an animal, but you're saying that they act like an animal. They're unruly. They're like a wild beast. And that's what these governments are. When man creates a government, they always get out of control. They seemingly, cannot be controlled. So, they just get worse and worse and become more wild and feral, as is obvious. I mean, it happens everywhere all the time, till finally the people overthrow it and maybe getting something worse. Rarely do you get something better, like the United States of America, to come up, and which has been practically destroyed because the agents of Satan, the Antichrist and his shadow government, work very hard on any government they can't control. And they weasel their way in until they take it over completely, which is where we're at in America right now. I believe, I haven't heard, but I'm pretty sure that, I'm pretty sure that, oh, where was I going? Okay. Oh, yeah. I lost my train of thought. I was reading because I saw something in the chat room, but I'll catch up on the chat room when I get a chance there. It's hard to do two things at one time, but I'm pretty sure that Gavin Newsom didn't lose his place. I'm sure that his aunt Nancy and the whole gang over there helped out. And the elections have been fixed in California for a long, long time. I doubted that, I mean, you can only hope, you know. I mean, you could hope that Larry Elder would get in, that he could do something, but even if he got in, he's got to go against a majority, evil legislature in California, which is a pretty large majority there, but, at least he could do some things and change some things by executive order, like all of the bad executive orders that we've been living under since President Trump gave everybody permission and paid them to, go into lockdowns and make COVID measures and stuff. President Trump. Yeah, he was a really duly elected president anyway, but, not like the pretender in chief that we have in there now. So, change is coming to California, recall election or not. Let's see. Anybody know the score on that? Because I haven't seen it yet. I've been pretty busy. I guess I should have got up a couple hours earlier than I got up at 6:30 this morning. So if I got up a couple hours earlier, I tried to check last night, but it seemed like nothing was in. But it seemed like the fix was in that Newsom wasn't going to be. Lose his seat for the next 2 years. But the good thing is that, yeah, we'll see. I don't hold out much hope for elections and such. So that's just the way that works. Let's see. Ezekiel chapter 40. Well, okay, got that one from Jay. Oh, Carrie Ann says, okay. Happy one-year anniversary Abrahamic Accord. If you want Nicholas to notice, add a O to the below the line. Yeah, Ezekiel chapter. Why is there an? I already commented on Ezekiel chapter. I said next hour. Plus, I have an Ezekiel study on my Bible study page at my website. So. Please do check that out there, Jay. Okay, no impeachment, huh? All right, anyway, we're going to go into a break. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border, and this is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. We're here on a Wednesday morning, so if you're around, come on over to the chat room. If you're listening live, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. Click on the chat button, and you can join the conversation there and the few other people that are in the chat room there. Okay, so I was going to talk about this article. No need to wait for Big Pharma's anti-COVID protease inhibiting drug. Now, as you know, there have been reported errors. I don't know what it is now. They knock the number around and alter it at their will, the number of people that have actually died as a result of the drug. There's come out one organization or some organization of people came out and looking at released documents. I believe they were released under the, what do they call that? I forget what it's called, where they have to release documents at the request of the public. Anyway, that the actual number that they're hiding is more like 45. And by this time would be 50 or 60,000 deaths in the USA from COVID. And they say that actually, those reported to VAERS are only one at the worst case, 1%, best case, 10% of adverse events are reported to VAERS. And that was an official, I believe that was a government study so I'm just going off the top of my head on this, but you can look this all up for yourself. This is all by now, after a year and a half, pretty much should be common knowledge, except for those that only watch the mainstream news. Only listen to CNN, ABC, CBS, and even stuff is starting to leak out there. Occasionally, something will leak out, but they make sure it never gets repeated again, you know. But it does get repeated because people actually record those bits and repeat them over and over. But the people that are mesmerized and under the spell of the mainstream media never hear otherwise. And anything that might upset the cart that does get through, never gets through again. It kind of gets covered up or washed over quickly as if it didn't happen. So, but no need to wait for Big Pharma's anti-COVID protease inhibiting drug. The problem with COVID is the spike protein that it creates. What can you do about it? Well, the same thing you should be doing anyway to prevent yourself from catching a virus in the first place, shed by the spike protein shedders, those who have taken the vaccine, shed by Delta. That's what Delta is. That's what they've named it. If someone who has been vaccinated gets the virus and starts shedding it, and then other people get it from someone who's been vaccinated because they shed, I believe it was 170 or 50 times more than someone who hasn't been vaccinated and gets the virus, so-called, they said. And, you know, I mean, I'm no scientist or anything, but I'm just going by what they're saying, what they're reporting themselves. And, you know, I know when 2 + 2 = 4. That's, I at least know that much. 2 + 2 doesn't = 3 or 5. That's all there is to that. So supplement. Read this article by Bill Sardi there. You should be taking vitamin D. You should be supplementing with, you know, lysine is a good viral inhibitor. And there's a lot of things you can do as far as making your food, your medicine, and that means supplementing. Because you should think of supplements as part of your diet. That's what I do. I think of supplements as part of my diet. When I buy them, I'm buying food, you know, to make sure that the food that I actually do eat, if it doesn't have enough nutrients in it, then I'm going to make sure that my body gets those nutrients, so that I don't have to show up at the hospital dying of something that I could have easily prevented. So there's a lot of information out there on healthy eating. So even if you can't eat healthy, at least you can supplement. Yeah, get it? That would be better than just not eating healthy and not supplementing. Okay, from 9-1-1 to COVID, the refusal of the debate. Still, the mainstream media refuses to debate, and, you know, we all know the reason here. It's because the shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist, yes, the Antichrist is alive and well, his shadow government has been working very hard for the last 500 years, and we see the results, so we know they've done a very good job at what they said they were going to do 500 years ago. They wrote a rule book for taking over the world. We've read it here on the air. We've gone through it. The shadow government that works for the Antichrist and their rules. They put those rules into effect, and they've, it's worked way beyond their dreams. They've got education. They've got government. They're in, they've got all the big money. They own all the monetary powers of the world, the banks. They're all theirs. They're all bankers for the Antichrist. Everyone go, oh, it's the bankers. It's the banking cartel. Well, they work for the Antichrist. And you know, why wouldn't they? I mean, why can't Christians believe that? Especially dispensationalists. You believe that an Antichrist is going to show up and rule all these things suddenly? No, it takes a long time to get things in order. As a matter of fact, it takes centuries. It took them 2 centuries to get to where they are in America today, from having no bank. You know, the central bankers were heavily fought against by the founding fathers. Little did they know, if they knew at all, maybe they did, but none of them wrote about it, that the Antichrist was there when they formed the Constitution. Yeah. And his fingerprint is called Washington, D.C. That's the Antichrist fingerprint. If he couldn't get anything else, at least he got 10 square miles ceded to the government that was built upon the Constitution. Because he knew if he could concentrate power, then he could eventually control it all. It's easier to control concentrated power. It's all in one place. It brings all the power together. And then it brings all the people that love power there too. And all those people that love power are easily corrupted. And that's how the Antichrist and his shadow government roll. And if they can't control you, they can't corrupt you. If you aren't already corrupted, they will corrupt you. If they can't corrupt you, they will blackmail you somehow. Threaten you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your extended family. They'll get control of you somehow because that's what they do. It makes a fine movie for fantasy in Hollywood movies, but those are all based upon reality. Yeah, as they say, the truth is stranger than fiction. And if what you're looking at is fiction, the truth is even much stranger than that, if you don't know it. So, okay, the refusal to debate. They control the media. They control the narrative. They own all the big companies, all the big tech companies, all controlled by them. If you become rich, they will control you. Not being rich, being poor, being middle class is a blessing. Thank God. You don't have to deal with being rich. Yeah, thank God you don't have to deal with being rich. Little hope for the rich. Yeah. Let's see. Changes coming to California. Recall election or not? Well, I guess not. A change may be coming, but it's not coming very fast. I hope it's coming because I'm over here in the foothills in one of the most conservative counties in California, which is kind of like the rest of America. It's all falling very quickly. Yeah. The Antichrist is gaining full control, it seems, very quickly. But that doesn't mean we don't push back. You know, God, as I believe that the earth, the two-horned earth beast, it represents America. And I don't see any change in the two horns, and there's no end given. That beast doesn't go to perdition like the sea beast goes to perdition. So I don't know what happens there. It's kind of like we have to wait and see what's going to happen here in America to this land here. So that gives me a lot more fight back. And so I won't. I'll keep, you know, and I'm even beginning to believe, because I post things on Facebook and they don't get taken down. Some things do. So it seems like there's even a conflict going on Facebook. Yeah. Some of the fact checkers, you know, they have to deal with the facts all the time. And I think if they deal with the facts and look into them deep enough, I think some of the fact checkers can be changed by the facts. So do not stop posting on all of your mainstream media and social media. Keep you know, posting the truth and praying for the fact checkers because they're going to be confronted with the truth. And I believe a lot of them are changing. And that's why even Joe Biden is not happy. Yeah. He says, yeah, he's very, very disappointed with Americans. Right. He's very disappointed. That's why he had to take the drastic measures he took and make some unlawful orders that nobody wants to follow, except for, you know, I don't know who, but I see a lot of pushback there, so let's keep pushing back. The agenda is escalating. The New World Order. Well, yes, and it's going to escalate until Christ comes. There's nothing we can do about that. The prophecy is clear. Those three frog-like spirits are just croaking louder and louder and louder and louder. They were loosed about 200 years ago, and they've been croaking louder and louder. As you notice, and I say 200 years ago because that's about the time that dispensationalism really rose up and marked out its place. And as I was talking about earlier, what we're going to talk about in the next hour, amillennialism versus premillennialism. Oh. Yeah. Amillennialism versus premillennialism in our next hour. I believe that a lot of the dispensationalists knew about premillennial historicism, that they don't have to give up what the Bible plainly speaks to them, which is a premillennial return of Christ and ruling and reigning with his saints for 1,000 years. Because I don't want to give that up either. I mean, you know, I would if I could find that it's not in the Bible, but it's definitely there, and I cannot find the opposite. So that's why I believe, and I believe it's part of Satan's design that the pre-mill dispensationalists, you know, futurists, they look at a-mill, you know, reformed eschatology and they go, no way. That's the Bible explicitly gives us a millennial reign of Christ, not just in chapter 20. It's not stated that it is the millennial reign, but it's describing nothing else in the Bible. It's not describing the new heaven and new earth or the eternal state because people are still dying in all those descriptions that we have, especially in the Old Testament, of that blessed event or blessed era. So they just say, no way. So they need to know that, hey, that we have pre-mill historicism, and then all the pieces can come together with that. Now, people get the truth. So it makes it unpalatable. Amillennialism is unpalatable, and rightly should be, to a dispensational futurist. But if they looked into premillennial historicism, I think it would answer a lot of their questions and fill in a lot of the blanks for them. Okay, in case you thought we're still having this discussion more than a year and a half later, in case you thought the PCR test detects an actual virus, you're wrong. It never did, never will. As a matter of fact, what was it, like 2 months ago, CDC said they have to come up with a new test because the PCR is too many false positives. And why did they finally change their mind about the test that gave us the pandemic? Well, because all of the vaccinated people were testing positive. So they said, okay, well, the people that actually got vaccinated, we're going to do less cycles for them. But people who are unvaccinated, we're still going to run them at 50 or 60 cycles instead of 28. For people that have been vaccinated, but they're still testing positive even at 28 and getting the virus, shedding it. I believe 80% of the hospitalizations for COVID right now are among the vaccinated. And they want to blame it on the unvaccinated. they shed 150 times more of the COVID viral. They have a viral load 150 times that of people who haven't been vaccinated. Okay. Oh, I'm starting to say the bad word now. So I'm going to have to delete this from YouTube immediately. Delete it immediately when the broadcast is over before their word checker detects it and outs me. Yeah. So anyway, PCR tests, they still haven't come up with a new test, even though they've admitted that there are too many false positives and too many false negatives. Yeah, it's only false positives if you if they're running it at 60 cycles. Yeah. Anyway, so, and if you haven't heard about that yet, well, then you're among the majority that listen to this broadcast or this radio network. And by the way, if you're hearing this broadcast on the same channel, I'm running First Amendment Radio live 24/7 on my Prophecy Reality channel. I just shut it down for an hour before I do my live broadcast on Wednesdays because it's my channel. But it's a difficult to say why, because I can't live stream on First Amendment Radio on YouTube anymore anyway, 24/7. But I'm not live streaming on YouTube anywhere 24/7. We're live streaming on, let's see, where are we live streaming at here? On, this is DLive. Facebook is intermittent because they cut you off after 3 hours, I think. And this one is Odyssey and Trovo. And I'm also on YouTube right now, but that'll only be for the duration of the broadcast. Okay, back to our headlines. Let's see, anyone here, anyone in the chat room? Could it be faded flu from days gone by, says Jace. Good to see you in the chat room there, Jace. I knew it was on when a YouTuber said last year when a lockdown started, they did it. They actually pulled the trigger to start the final march of the march to the mark of the beast. I call it the 2030 march to the mark of the beast because it's my belief. If you read my book, and I believe I make the better case than anyone else, that the two-horned earth beast of Revelation 13 is the United States of America, and that the image of the beast is the UN. So if you haven't seen that yet, you should, and you can read about that on my website, in my book. Also, it's posted at, horeapocalyptike.wordpress.com. That's this page here. Let me see. Let me look at this. Okay. Let me reload this page. Okay, yeah, if I go to this, that's this page here, the horeapocalyptike.wordpress.com. And if you go to volume 3, I have the whole thing up there. This is the Quincentennial Reformation Edition. And if you scroll down to chapter 9, I believe it is. Chapter 9. And, okay, yes. Chapter 9, Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. And there's 4 sections there. 1, Attributes of the Earth Beast Prefigured in the Vision. Section 2 is Identity of the Earth Beast Prefigured in the Vision. Section 3 is The Earth Beast Creates the Image of the Beast. And then section 4 is the mark of the beast, its name and its number. So I'll put that in the chat room right now so you don't have to go look for it if you're with us in the chat room there. But anyway, save that, read it, and you'll believe I have the best case that I've seen if anywhere. And if anyone else has another, anything I can add to that, I'll discuss it. And also, we talked about the Three Frogs, chapter 10. You can read that there, too, on the same page. And this also, this one here has a reference to it. If you want to read, I believe it's chapter 4 here, the seven-headed, ten-horned sea beast. So you might want to read that first, then go to 9. I think there may be a link to 9 there in it. There's a link back in this one here to it. So make sure you check that out and spread it around. You know, send it to everyone in your email list. Post it in your social media. You know, send it to all the Seventh-day Adventists. You know, they'll love it. Even though they're not really historicists, they're pretend historicists anyway, so they'll like it. And I don't say anything about them in it, but in my own book, I have a chapter there that Seventh-day Adventists are neither Reformed, Protestant, nor historicists. So if you're interested in that, you go to my website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. If you look in the right-hand column of the chat room, you'll see a visit cross the border button there. It'll take you straight to my website. And then just put SDA in the search button there and the article will show up. Yeah, because I think it's called the SDA Church. So if you put SDA in the search button there on my website, you'll find that article on the SDA Church is neither historicist nor Protestant. So do check that out. Okay, yeah, we're at the end of this hour. That was a fast hour. No comments or questions. Very appropriate. Let's see. Add an extra V. Call them waxed D persons. Waxed D? Oh, waxed. I get it. And that's a good one, WW. They're waxed. I got it, man. That's funny. Or wax. As in wacky. Right? Is that it? That's what makes it funny to me. But in a good way. Keep the hounds away. Yes. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Yeah, I remember that song. It was a pop song in the, what, 60s? Late 60s? Mm-hmm. I think it was anyway. There's something still rolling around in my brain from the 60s. Yeah, I was alive then. I was a teenager in the 60s. Okay, next hour, as I said, we're going to take a break here. You're going to listen to the news, but make sure you come back. It'll be about...
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, we're going to talk about, as promised, amillennialism versus premillennialism. It's a couple of big words. Let's see. Let me check in the chat room here. Thank the few people that have showed up today. Haven't you set your clock back an hour yet? Oh, wait a minute. That's not now. Never mind that one. Okay, is Revelation 20 the only text for premillennialism? You know, and I heard this argument before, but I just thought, well, if the scripture says something, it says something. It doesn't matter that it's only in one chapter of the Bible. And I never really thought to answer it, you know, because I really had enough, I thought, already to answer for it. If you've read my book, the last three chapters of this book here having to do with that era and that argument, the last three chapters, is... What are those chapters called? Okay. Beginning with chapter 12, 13, and 14. I believe I have three chapters there. Let's see. What are they called? Let me look up a table of contents. Would be easier. Okay. The Millennium Question. And I covered a lot in that chapter. Reform Development of Millennial Eschatology. The Amillennial First Resurrection Pass. These are the sections in that chapter. Peter's Thousand Years Day. The error of saying that the resurrection is past already. And that's a quote. Saying that the resurrection is past already. Did you know that's an exact quote in the King James Version of the Bible? That's an error of saying that. Anyway, and this age and the age to come. And then Sam Storm's challenge to premillennialism. I answer his challenge because he posted a challenge online and he's a big amillennial guy. And then my chapter 13 is prospects for the unfulfilled future, that which is yet to come, the alien invasion and the great battle and the blessed epic. Okay. And those. Oh, I guess that's not three chapters. That's the last two chapters. Okay. That's, yeah. So anyway, that'll answer all of your questions that you have. But a little bit more information, and I found some of this helpful. Now, the guy who's writing this is a dispensational futurist, and they are premillennialists. But he has some good arguments for premillennialism, and they're sound arguments. But the fact is, see, when he argues against an amillennialist, he would put most historicists or reformed Christians, those that don't accept dispensational futurism, as amillennials. So he thinks that, he has to lose premillennialism to become an amillennialist or even any reformed belief that rejects futurism must reject premillennialism too. And it's the same thing. You get futurists who read, who find fault with all the faults in dispensationalism, and then they reject premillennialism with it. I call that throwing out the baby of premillennialism with the bathwater of dispensationalism. So anyway, go over this guy's Michael Vlack. In his defense of amillennialism against premillennialism, Robert B. Strimple makes mention of one text premillennialists. So that's his, I don't know, what do you call that when someone calls you something like that? A one text premillennialists. That's a derogatory term on the premillennialists. You only have one text. You're just one text premillennialists. You know, it's as if it's a bad thing to have a text to support your belief, right? By this, he means premillennialists who allegedly rely solely on Revelation 21 through 10 for their view that there will be an earthly kingdom of Christ after the second coming of Jesus. Well, that's not really what I'm sure Robert Strimple means. He just means to say, well, you only have one text. You got nothing else. And whatever else you got is not explicit. So it really doesn't support it. I mean, that's basically what Mr. Strimple really is saying by his argument of calling a premillennialist, one-text premillennialist. You know, shame on you for believing something when you only have one text, one chapter of the Bible that upholds your view. That's not enough for me. That's why I'm an amillennialist, because you only have one text. You know, and I thought about this, you know, and I've thought about it before, too. And I've made this argument in my book, also in my book here. And also I made it in my exposition of the Revelation that they have no text whatsoever. At least we have several explicit verses throughout chapter 20 of the Revelation proclaiming a millennial reign of Christ, a millennium, 1,000 years. Repeatedly throughout that chapter, explicitly by the plain reading of the text. And there's nothing in the text to make you believe that it's anything other than what it says. And I make a lot of good arguments for that, I believe, in both of my books, both of my latest books, The Exposition of the Revelation and Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. Okay? But they have nothing. So it's kind of ironic that an amillennialism makes this derogatory smirk comment, you know, to degrade the view of premillennialists by calling them one text premillennialists. Probably a lot of spittle coming out of his mouth as he says it, you know. I don't know. Whatever. I'm just dramatizing a little bit here. But you get the idea. But then think about it. I mean, you could stop him dead in his tracks and maybe make his face turn red, because all you have to say is, at least we have one text. Amillennialism has nothing at all in the entire Bible that says the millennium is not literal or is only, you know, to be taken as a symbol. It's only symbolic. You know, it's only a figure of speech. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Nowhere at all. So, yeah, we got our one text. You got nothing. Okay? Now, come back from that. So by this, he means premillennialists who allegedly, because very few do, because I even mention all of the other texts in the scripture, Old and New Testament, that refer to the millennium. The closest one that we get that gets most explicit is 2 Peter 3, I believe it is. Yeah, 2 Peter 3. And gets the closest to explicitly stating that there will be a millennial reign. There will be an earthly kingdom after the second coming of Jesus. So allegedly relies solely on Revelation 20. Oh, okay. Is this just an interruption or is this... Your name and where you're calling from, you've won the prize. Where do I send your $100? I guess they don't want to claim the prize. Imagine that. Well, too bad for them. Okay, well, that's the last prize I'm giving out today. Yes, indeed. But I will pray for you. Okay, anyway, our author of the article, here he goes on. He says, in my own dealings with the millennial issue, I find that there is a common perception held by amillennials and postmillennials that premillennialism is itself based solely on Revelation 20, and supposedly without this passage, premillennialism would have no support. Well, that would be a common misperception, yeah. If anyone, I mean, they would like to believe that, but I don't believe that any of them have that misperception at all. If they become an amillennial, to believe that there is no support in the rest of the Bible, there is plenty of support. And that's why I like the article here, because he goes on with some of the same supports that I identify, but I like the way that he words it. Get a little different perspective. This article will address the perception that premillennialism is a one-passage viewpoint. While there certainly may be some one-text premillennialists, allegedly, it is not true that premillennialism is based only on Revelation 20, although Revelation 20 is the only passage in the Bible that explicitly, see, they got nothing, at least we have something explicit, mentions 1,000 years. And I think 2 Peter 3 is a close second there. But it doesn't, well, it does and doesn't. It's a little bit more cryptic. Anyway, many premillennialists believe there are other passages that are consistent with the idea of an intermediate kingdom after the present age, but before the eternal state. In a nutshell, our reasoning goes like this. In addition to Revelation 20, several Old Testament passages predict an era on this earth that is far better than the current age we live in, but not yet as perfect as the coming and final eternal state. Thus, there is a necessity of an intermediate kingdom after the second coming of Jesus, but before the eternal state. As Wayne Grudem puts it, whoever he is, several Old Testament passages seem to fit neither of the present age nor the eternal state. These passages will indicate some future stage in the history of redemption, which is far greater than the present church age, but which still does not see the removal of sin and rebellion and death from the earth. Yeah, this would answer good to, I'll put a link to this in the chat room if you'd like to follow along more closely. And make sure you post this on your social media too, if you have a mind to. So it's anyway, the link is there in the chat room. Okay? The way he puts it is very good. I wish I would have done as good a job on stating it this way. Anyway, so he brings us three examples, and there are many more. Like I said, 2 Peter 3 is a good example. And I'm going to send this guy a copy of my book, free, a PDF. Anyway, the author. He says, first example, Isaiah 65. One such passage which fits neither in the present age nor in the eternal state is Isaiah 65. In particular, Isaiah 65:20 states, no more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days, for the child shall die 100 years, but the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. The issue at hand in this verse, which is discussing conditions associated with the new heavens and new earth, is longevity of life. I mentioned this in my book. But like I said, I like the way he words this. He's very succinct on the point and brings the argument to the surface. Anyway, whenever this prophecy is fulfilled, people will be living so long that if they die at age 100, something must be wrong, since it is expected that people will live much longer than that. In fact, it will be assumed that a person dying at the age of 100 must have done something wrong. And that's a common misperception today, that if someone dies young, they must have done something wrong. Or if someone has hardships in their life, they must have done something wrong. So we see that even some of those misconceptions will live. But It's the fact. It will be assumed that the person dying at age of 100 must have done something wrong. It may be true and it may not, but they must be accursed. So notice two important things here with Isaiah 65:20: an increased longevity of life and the presence of sin, which brings curses and death. Now we must ask the question, when will these conditions described in Isaiah 65:20 take place? Can it be during our present age? Well, the answer is clearly no. We live in a day where people live between 70 and 80 years on average. If a person dies today at age 100 years old, we say he lived a long life, not a short one. So will Isaiah 65 be fulfilled in the coming eternal state? The answer again must be no. In the eternal state, there is no longer any sin, death, or curse. So no one will be dying. Therefore, Isaiah 65 must be fulfilled in an era that is different from our current period, yet distinct from the eternal state. This means there must be an intermediate kingdom, or what we call the millennium of chapter 20 of the Revelation, the millennial reign of Christ that begins when Jesus returns with all of his saints. I'm adding a little bit here to the article. So he says, compare these three eras. Present age, lifespans of 70 to 80 years old on average. Millennial kingdom, lifespans will be beyond 70 to 80 years, but sin, death, and curses exist. Eternal state, people will live forever with no presence of sin, death, or curse. This understanding of Isaiah 65 is not recent. Christians of the second century viewed this passage as support for premillennialism. Martin Erdman points out that Isaiah 65, 20 through 25 formed the scriptural basis, besides Revelation 21 through 10, on which Asiatic millennialism built its Kileistic doctrine. This was true for Justin Martyr. In reference to Isaiah 65, Justin said, "For Isaiah spoke concerning this period of 1,000 years. Erdman points out that Justin's reference to Old Testament prophets indicates his reliance on the Old Testament as the primary source of Kileism. He did not shy away from utilizing different passages from the Hebrew Bible to strengthen his argument in favor of a literal millennium. Likewise, the author of the Epistle of Barnabas, a pseudepigraphal writing, was also a premillennialist, and according to Erdman, his Kileist views were partially based on verses from the Old Testament. Second example, Zechariah 14, another one that I mention in my book. Zechariah 14, 15 through 17 also supports premillennialism. Verse 9 states that the Lord will be king over all the earth after his feet stand on the Mount of Olives. Verse 4, but there is still disobedience and rebellion on the part of some nations. It is predicted that Egypt and other nations will be punished with drought when they do not obey the Lord as they should. Grudman states that the issue well. Here again, the description, Zechariah 14, 5 through 17, does not fit the present age, for the Lord is king over all the earth in this situation. But it does not fit the eternal state either, because of the disobedience and rebellion against the Lord that is clearly present. According to premillennialists, these conditions of Zechariah 14 can only occur in an intermediate kingdom between the present age and the eternal state. While some people from all nations are being saved in the church age, the nations themselves do not obey our Lord. See Psalm 2. In fact, they persecute those who belong to the Lord. In the millennial kingdom, Jesus will rule the nations while he is physically present on earth. The nations will obey and submit to his rule. But as Zechariah 14 points out, whenever a nation does not act as they should, there is punishment. On the other hand, in the eternal state, there will be absolutely no disobedience on the part of any of the people from any of the nations. The picture of the nations in the eternal state is only positive. The kings of the nations bring their contributions to the New Jerusalem. See Revelation 21:24. And the leaves of the trees are said to be for the healing of the nations. Okay? And used in context, the nations would be the people from different nations of the earth, and rather than the national governments, or what we call beast powers today. So the true nations are the people, and not the beast powers. Beast powers will all be come to an end. They will be destroyed per Daniel chapter 2 when Jesus returns and the stone formed without hands strikes the image in the feet. It becomes like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that there is no place found for it, and the stone becomes a mountain. The stone cut out without hands becomes a mountain and fills the whole earth. See, that's a picture of the millennium too, of the millennial reign of Christ, supplanting all of the nations, the beast powers of men. And said that Gigi says, why else would Christ need to rule with a rod of iron? Yes. Well, he rules with a rod of iron now, but in a different way, because we see that he chastised his own nation Israel using Babylon, and that he chastised Israel again at 70 AD using the Romans. And he said that that Babylon was a sword in his hand. So, but it will be different. Yeah. In the millennial reign, and that's what we're talking about now. It's a state that does not exist now, but cannot be the eternal state. So there's an intermediate state. The Bible is right. Chapter 20 is right. And everything that points to it harmonizes with it completely. Okay? So to compare, present age Jesus is in heaven, and the nations do not yet submit to Jesus as king. Millennial kingdom. Jesus rules the nations on earth and punishes those nations that do not act as they should. And finally, the eternal state. The nations act exactly as they should with no need of punishment. And then the third example, he goes to Psalm 72. And we're going to talk about that one because we're going to be going into a break like really quick here. Yeah, very quickly. Anyway, you're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. My website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. There's a button to it. Visit Cross the Border in the chat room. So go on over there and subscribe to my blog. Check out the free ebook tab. You can get some free reading material. Just follow the instructions there. And request what you would like to have, and voila, you will get it. But you have to subscribe first and share something, at least share the page that, or any page on my website, or call someone on the phone, tell them about me, or send someone a letter. I don't care. Drop a postcard. But I'll take your word for it that you shared.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality. And in this hour, we've been talking about premillennialism. And that would mean that the pre part on the millennialism means that Jesus returns before the 1,000 years. And that's explicitly stated in the Bible. We do have an explicit statement, an entire chapter where it's repeated several times, the 1,000 years. And then we have a lot of supporting verses throughout the Old and New Testament to support the millennial reign of Christ. This author here is covering three of them. His third example is at Psalm 72. Now, this is one that I did not include in my book, so it's good. I'm going to add this to my notes. And if I do a second edition, perhaps I'll mention some of these good supports here. Anyway, the third example is Psalm 72, 8 through 14, is another passage that has implications for an intermediate kingdom. May he also rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Let the nomads of the desert bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. Let the kings of Tarshish and the islands bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Saba offer gifts, and let all kings bow down before him. All nations serve him, for he will deliver the needy when he cries for help, the afflicted also, and him who has no helper. He will have compassion on the poor and needy, and the lives of the needy he will save. He will rescue their life from oppression and violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight. This messianic psalm appears to go beyond the experience of Solomon to that of the coming of Messiah. This king's rule will be global to the ends of the earth, and all nations serve him. Yet Psalm 72, 13 and 14 also mentions the presence of the poor and needy that need rescue. Again, conditions are described that cannot be harmonized with our present world or the final eternal state. As Grudem states, all of this speaks of an age far different from this present age, but short of the eternal state in which there will be no more sin or suffering. To compare, present age, Messiah is not ruling over the entire earth. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the presence of these beast powers. They will be abolished, as stated in Daniel chapter 2. And also chapter 19 of the Revelation. Those two harmonize together completely. The millennial kingdom. Messiah is ruling over the earth, and there is still presence of the poor and needy who need rescue. Eternal state. Messiah is ruling, but there is no presence of the poor and needy. Conclusion. So is premillennialism a one passage viewpoint, as some think, or as the accusation is leveled against it? And that's what I would call it, an accusation leveled against it. Perhaps we could call it a straw man argument set up to knock down. Yeah, but not challenged. So is premillennialism a one-passage viewpoint of something? Not at all. The idea of an earthly kingdom that comes after Jesus' return, but before the eternal state, is taught in several Old Testament passages and Revelation 20. And I also believe in 2 Peter chapter 3. In the course of progressive revelation, Revelation 20 reveals to us how long this intermediate kingdom will be. 1,000 years. But it is not the first and only reference to such an era. When someone says to me, you only have one passage, Revelation 20, which allegedly teaches a millennium, allegedly. How about explicitly? They want to say it's allegedly because they don't want to believe what it says. I say that's not true. Revelation 20 tells me how long Christ's intermediate earthly kingdom will be. 1,000 years. But other passages teach the idea of an intermediate kingdom. And that's what I like. That's the thing I'm talking about right there. His way of stating that. So he says, premillennialism is a doctrine found in both Old Testament and New Testament. And so you see there, he has everything footnoted and noted here. So very good. He gives you his bio. And like I said, I'm going to send him a copy. He has a Master of Divinity from Master Seminary. So you know where he probably is. He's definitely Reformed. He's most likely Reformed theologically if he went through Master Seminary, but he is not Reformed eschatologically, right? Because he believes to become Reformed eschatologically, he needs to embrace amillennialism, because that's what most of Reformed faith has embraced, except for John MacArthur, who has embraced dispensational futurism. But so many people have left and dispensational futurism, and like I said, thrown out the baby with the bathwater, the baby of premillennialism with the bathwater of dispensationalism, because they searched into the doctrines and, you know, the beliefs of, and couldn't uphold dispensationalism by the Bible. The Bible overthrows it, but the Bible definitely does not overthrow, but they kind of, like I said, the baby goes with the bathwater kind of thing. That's what I'm thinking. Perhaps with this guy too. So anyway, that's why I wrote my book for Reformed Prophecy Interpretation for Reformed people that have thrown out the baby with the bathwater. I want them to go pick up the baby, man. You know, the whole idea of the bath was to bring the baby out and get rid of the bathwater with all of the impurities that it contains. You know, it's like throwing out the gold with the dross. You know, you're cleansing, you're purifying. You don't throw everything out. Okay? That's what it is. Anyway, I'll post this link below this video for those of you watching later and in the chat room before the broadcast here goes off. Let's see, whoops. Okay, go back. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. Is this right? Okay, well, I put a link in the chat room. Let me see, it's still there. Copy link. I'll paste it back in the chat room. Does that link work? Did that link work for everyone in the chat room? Because I tried to type it out and it didn't work very well when I typed it out. Let me see if it works here. Okay, yeah, the link works. I guess I must have made an error when I typed it, because I had to search it and then I got the page. Okay, very good. Very good. So anyway, something for you to share. Thank you for that, Gigi. So there's a lot of good people, of course, in Reformed, and they're very civil when they debate, unlike most of the dispensationalists that I've debated. But like if I debated someone who went to Masters University, I know that they would civilly debate. I've watched them civilly debate each other on YouTube. And I've had a civil debate with one dispensationalist so far, a Baptist. And he checked himself when he was ready to launch into an ad hominem attack. He checked himself. So I was happy to see that exercise of self-control. Yeah. Don't need any ad hominem attacks when we're debating God's word, because we all are looking for the same thing. And that is the truth. You know, so if you go through my book, if you read my book and you see something wrong, you can overthrow it by scripture, then I definitely need to hear that. And it's your duty as my loving brother in Christ. He said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another, then by your love for me as a brother in Christ, you're going to have to straighten me out and show me where I'm wrong. Because I don't want to write a book. I don't want to write something in a book that's wrong. If it can't be supported by scripture, then I'm not going to write it. And if it can be overthrown by scripture, I'm not going to propagate it. I can't go there. That's my position. Okay, see. Wacky, yes, wacky still defending self there. I'm wacky but civil in my Millennium Now view. Oh, you're amillennial there, wacky? Yeah. Okay, well, you'll get here. I'm guessing that you already read my book, Wacky. If I'm wrong or something that I've written can be overthrown by scripture, please let me know, because I need to correct my books if I find anything. That was the problem I was having with this other author that we were discussing the last two broadcasts in the final segment, is he's put his error into just about every book he's written on prophecy. So if he changes his mind, and I think that's one thing to keep people from changing their mind, is they have to go back now and do a revision of all of their work. Then they have all of that work out there. Man, never write anything. Never publish anything, you know, unless you're very sure that it can't be overthrown by scripture. Because that's the first thing I look for. Is there anything I can do to overthrow my thesis? I'm looking for anything. And people send me stuff all the time and I go, oh no. But then I research into it and maybe they're right, but maybe they're wrong too. So I go, no, that doesn't really overthrow my thesis. That's wishful thinking. That's conjecture. It doesn't address it at all. It's just conjecture supporting their view. So it doesn't overthrow my thesis. And I found things that have overthrown a thesis that I was working on or considering many, many times, probably more than I found that are right. I've probably reviewed more theses that were wrong and that I could overthrow by the scripture than I found that were right. But see, that's that refining process, you know? Like I said, don't throw out the baby of premillennialism and the millennial reign of Christ, a blessed epoch that, you know, for God, for his purpose. And I believe I outlined some of those the purpose that God would have a millennial reign of Christ where he is on the earth and allowing the sons of Adam. I mean, he was on the earth with sons of Adam before. I mean, it was so bad then that all of them were sons of Adam when he was on earth before, and he was the only one who was not a son of Adam. Naaman, where are you calling from? Speaking of sons of Adam, okay? But he was the new Adam. He was the second Adam. Okay? So, not a big deal. He's gonna be on the earth with all of the sons of God, all of the resurrected saints from Adam and Eve, speaking of Adam and Eve, until the very last elect person that was born before he comes. We will all be the elect of the Old Testament era, the elect of the New Testament era. We will all be with Christ when he returns, because he's going to return with all of his saints. And the elect are all of his saints, no matter what era they lived in. And that fulfills all of the prophecy to all of the patriarchs, to the national Israel, and to the entire church is fulfilled in that event. And then even moving forward, because there will be souls that will be saved of the sons of Adam, born of those who live through the return of Christ and the final war of this era, which is the Battle of Armageddon. Okay. You know, it's hard to, because Satan will be loosed at the end of the millennium, but there's not really going to be a war. They're going to think to make war. They're going to compass the camp of the saints about, but there's not going to be any war, because they're going to be summarily executed. There's not going to be a world war. Make no mistake about that. When Satan is loosed, and he gathers the nations together, all those that are opposed to Christ in the earth, he gathers together. He's gathering together. He's doing Christ's bidding. He's gathering them together for instantaneous judgment. And their judgment will be summarily taken care of. And they will appear in the next event before the eternal state, which will be the white throne judgment, where everyone who didn't make the first resurrection and didn't join the camp of the saints during the millennium, okay, who didn't become regenerated, because wasn't part of the elect during the millennium, all of those will be judged at the great white throne judgment. So that's the timetable. That's what we have to look forward to. And it's very important, you know, that you respond to the gospel. Sometimes I feel like, you know, preaching the gospel to somebody, sometimes it's bad news. People reject it, you know. So the gospel is not life to them. It's nothing, because they're condemned already. It's nothing to them. They're already condemned if they don't receive the gospel. But for the elect, it's life and peace. It's hope for the future. And if you want hope for the future, if you love the truth and you are ready to receive the gospel, then all I say is open the book. God wants to speak to you. And when you open that book and you start reading the gospels, he will speak to you. His Holy Spirit will inscribe his word upon your heart. And you will know, because he will reveal himself to you. He says, I will come into them and I will sup with them. That means he joins you where you're at. You become a stone in his temple, a stone created without hands in his temple. And you reside in, you become part of his church. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of God. And he will come into us, and he will come into you, and you will know that you are his, because his Holy Spirit will start to work in your life and start convicting you of sin. And he will not leave you filthy and dirty, wallowing in the dust, but he will clean you up. It may take the rest of your life. Yeah, that's true. He will do it for the rest of your mortal life. But when the day when he returns, or the day you die and you go to see him, or he comes and you meet him in the air, when that event happens, the scripture says that when we see him, we will be like him. And the sting of death will be removed from us. And we will join him for the millennial reign. And we will rule and reign over the whole earth with him, and over the sons of Adams that are born of those sons of Adam that live through his return and that conflagration that happens when he returns. And for 1,000 years, this is what we learn when we harmonize chapter 20, the plain reading of the text, with all of the other texts that point to an intermediate state. Our blessed hope. Yeah, that's part of our blessed hope. And then after that, eternity. But we already have eternal life, because when we see him, we will be like him. He was 33 years old when he was resurrected. So don't forget about how fat and ugly you are now. Your hair's all fallen out, and maybe you're limping around. You got a bad knee, or you got no knee, or whatever. You're in a wheelchair. You're blind. You're lame. Something never worked, or something stopped working. It's all going to be fixed. And not only will you appear as probably, I'm going to say 33 years old, but you'll be the best 33 that you could have been had everything been perfect. Yeah, don't you want that? I mean, that's what Christ is offering to you, man. I mean, that's, you know, I'm kind of, you know, expressing, you know, my own belief here, overlaying on with what I explicitly read. Because if we're going to be like him, well, he was 33 when he was resurrected. Was he 33? Yeah, that's it. Because when he began his ministry, he was in his 29th, he was in his 30th year. That's what Luke tells us. So he was, 3.5 years later. He was 33 years old, approximately. Close enough. And so, but we might bear some of the scars of our, as trophies. Because he bears his scars as trophies. So perhaps any scars we get in service of Christ, they will become trophies. Yeah, we'll see. But it'll all be good. You don't have to worry about a thing. And see, God gives you that assurance. I can't give it to you. I can't show you God. I can't give you an assurance of salvation that all of the things that I'm saying are true. I only testify what I know, what I believe, what God has shown me. And I say, God can show you himself, because when God shows himself to you, when he introduces himself to you, you will have no doubt. Oh, you may get doubts now and then, but yeah, keep reading God's word. He'll keep speaking to you. The Holy Spirit will keep working in your life as long as you allow. As long as you don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, he will keep working in you. So you say, welcome, Holy Spirit. You know, please convict me. And not only convict me, but give me the power to overcome the flesh. Yeah. Wacky says, now's the time for repentance in this day of grace where Jesus is ruling and reigning on the earth because he was already declared a king. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us, no matter what our age. The time of salvation is now. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. And I would want to be one of the elect. And if I wasn't sure, I'd be begging, please, have mercy on me, Jesus. I don't want to die. I want eternal life. Conform me to your image. Help me to be the man, woman, boy, girl that you want me to be. You know, help me to be the man that you want me to be. It's not going to be easy, but you can do it. Because he will give you the power to do it. You don't have to finish the race first. You just have to finish the race. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to eternal life. We'll see you next time.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.